Hey everybody, and welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people refer to starting their own company as taking the leap, as if they're blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show is here to help you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. As always, if you like what you're hearing on the show, please do us a favor and help share The Void with somebody else who might be wanting to start their own company. We saw an opportunity to help others understand that self-employment is well within your reach, and just as our businesses have grown organically and by word of mouth, we want this show to grow the same way. So if you see somebody asking questions about starting their own service-based business, please do us a favor and send them a link to the show. I'm your host, Mitch Smedley, and with me as always is David Hilton.
Mitch, you've made me go back and watch the first three or... I think I've watched three or four of the very first episodes. I will say...
We sucked.
It was better than I thought. The intro is way better now.
Oh, yeah. It was a little long.
The old one was long.
It was a half page long.
Very descriptive and drawn out. Like, halfway through it today, I was like, what the fuck is he talking about?
So what's funny is when we started this podcast, I created this cheat sheet.
That looks like you've wiped your ass with it?
Yeah, that like kind of goes over a lot of things. And we have our intro on here, we have our outro on here and all this stuff. And this is the revised version of the cheat sheet because this is the short intro.
Yeah.
And I've had it on the desk ever since. It actually has, behind the cameras, we have Marcus on the intro and I've got his name crossed out. So like... It's been here for...
That original intro is like 4 minutes.
A long time.
It's not 4 minutes, but it feels like 4 minutes.
Now, is it this episode in the original series where Marcus randomly was like, hey guys, I think it's a great time
it
to introduce...
It was the second episode.
Was it the
it
second
wasn't
one episode?
It wasn't this one, but it was the it was number two. Yeah,
There's one where he just like chimes in like, I think it's a good time to introduce me. And it's like, all right, Marcus, introduce yourself. And he goes, I'm Marcus.
And then there's silence.
Okay.
I mean, in Marcus's defense, we were downstairs drinking some beers and stuff, and he was like, yeah, I'll have one.
Yeah.
Little did we know, it was his first one ever.
Yeah, he doesn't drink.
And no.
So
he was canned.
Yeah.
Off of one beer.
That was a interesting evening.
Literally, hey, guys. Yes. Don't you think it's time to introduce me? What? Yeah, okay. Marcus, introduce yourself. I'm Marcus. Crickets. Fucking crickets.
Like, golly.
I mean, we're not badass by any means, but
yeah.
I did like Marcus a lot.
Yeah.
Like, I did really like him.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. He's a good guy. He just didn't work out.
Just fucking lazy.
So we promoted him to customer. Got a promotion.
I don't think he's a customer. I don't think he's listening to the podcast.
Yeah, true.
And customers pay. People out there listening right now, this is free. What the hell is Mitch talking about?
What do you mean customers pay?
Hey, you know what? If you want to send us in some cash, I'll take it. What would I do it? Would do with it? I don't know. I don't
probably
know
at least have to give somebody a call out on the show.
Well, no shit. I meant personally. I'm thinking very selfishly today.
What are we talking about today?
Business finance preparation.
Business finance preparation. So, if this is the first episode you're listening to, we're actually rehashing our original core episodes. We have 9 core episodes that go over 6 adversities that you need to overcome in order to expect success in business. And we took our first 9 episodes to go over those 6 adversities. And today we're talking about adversity number 2.
Yeah.
Which is business finance preparation.
You know, I will say we kept saying in the original episodes, adversities you have to overcome. They're really just tasks that you have to do.
Yeah.
They're jobs you have to do.
Yeah.
You know.
But adversity.
I mean, they are adversities. Yeah. Don't get me wrong, but. Even listening back, I was like, that's got to be a little confusing to people that don't really know what we're talking about.
Yeah, so where the adversity thing even came from is because in the original episode, the first episode, and then in episode 201, we were talking about like immigrants coming to America, and they're oftentimes end up being very successful. And it's because the more adversity you overcome, the more success is waiting for you on the other side. And their journey started even getting to America. Whereas your journey started by getting motivated to get off the couch and do something. And so
you lazy fucks.
Yeah. And so that's why immigrants see more success, is because they've been through more adversity. And so that's where the core adversities came from for the core episodes. But yes, this one is about business finance prep. So episode 1 and episode 201 is about your vision. Episode 2 and episode 202 is about preparing your personal finances for going into business for yourself. And now this is preparing your business finances. What's the money going to look like in the business that you're wanting to create?
Hey boys and girls, it's David. Mitch and I started TradeWinds to help trades professionals start their business, or if they've already started, to get it to a healthy and profitable level. It's training, it's coaching, it's mentoring, all in one. Click on the link in the description to find out a little bit more. There's a promotional video you can watch when you go to the website. If you fill out the contact form, I'll even make Mitch call you.
And there's a lot of things that you have to factor in, you have to consider. And you're not going to get all these right. I didn't, and I had plenty of experience before I started our company. I was in the industry for like 19 years before I started our company, and I still failed on a couple of these. But the failures were small enough that we were able to overcome them and roll on. But
well, you're going to fail regardless.
Right.
But the more that you can plan and prep and be prepared, the smaller those failures are going to be when they do happen.
Right.
Right. The people that just jump in with no planning at all are going to fail, 30, 40, 50, 60% of the time on certain tasks.
Right.
Those that have sat down, made a list, and said, hey, these are my goals and my objectives, here we go, fail at a much smaller rate.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. The more, like, it's kind of a balance, because you don't want to overanalyze. That's where you get into the phrase paralysis by analysis. In other words, you're overanalyzing everything so much that you've just stagnated and you don't know which way to go.
Yeah.
So you don't want paralysis by analysis, but you do want to, be thinking a little bit ahead.
You do want to be prepared.
Yeah.
Paralysis by analysis, a lot of times people will say, they'll take that as an excuse to not prep at all.
Right.
No, there is a balancing scale there. There is a line of diminishing return.
Yep.
But that's, don't use it as an excuse to be lazy when it comes to prepping for starting your business. This, for a lot of people, this is going to be, one of the most important things they do in their entire life.
Right.
Win or lose.
Right. And the big component with it is, so there's a saying in business that 80% done is better than perfect. And then as you're building a team, 80% done by somebody else is better than you doing it at 100%. And those two sayings are very similar, but that's kind of what you need to be thinking of when you're trying to plan out your business expenses and your business finances. You don't know what perfect finances look like. So don't even think you're going to get these perfect out of the gate.
No.
But you want to feel confident that you're at least 80% of the way there with your finances. And so for me, what I did is I sat down and I started coming up with monthly budgets for our fixed expenses. And then I came up with startup expenses for what it's going to cost to get things off the ground. And then while I was doing the startup expenses, I just added another, this is all on Excel spreadsheet, I added another column or another set of columns for when I need to add a technician, how much is that going to cost? And the logic there was, there's a lot of startup expenses that you don't have to rebuy again when you need to add a technician.
Yeah.
For instance, your CRM, the software program that you're going to use to keep track of customers and all of that stuff. Don't have to buy a new CRM every time you hire somebody. So
yeah, your office, isn't going to be bigger.
Right.
You don't have to pay for an additional QuickBooks subscription or whatever. The goal kind of is every time you hire someone, the rule of thumb is the expenses are less every time, if that makes sense.
Yep.
Until it gets to a point where, okay, now it's just the same. Every time I hire someone, it costs me X.
Yep. And so we're going to kind of run through my exact budget that I started out with. I've got it pulled up on my computer right here in front of me. So,
and when you say budget, you started with a list, right? It was just, it was a list of, okay, what is it going to take to start my business? Mm-hmm. And then what does each one of those things cost?
Yep.
What is the monetary value of each one of those things I've put on the list?
Yep.
And then by the time I get through that list, that's my budget number to start my business, is whatever that total was.
Yep. And so, like, for me, my list, I'm gonna read down my list for startup expenses.
Okay.
It'll take me a minute because it's a fairly long list.
It is long. That's why I text you today and I said, hey, do you think you still have that list? Because I'm not trying to pull this all off of the original podcast today.
Yep.
Luckily, my man is very, how do you say this? Organized.
Organized on
prepared.
The computer.
Yes, you are.
So now we have some startup expenses and then we have some like proposed monthly budgetary expenses. And so I'm going to go through the startup expenses and then we'll flow right into the monthly budgetary expenses. So,
okay. Give it to me, dog.
I'm going to read through the list first and then I'm going to tell you how I processed this list and organized it.
I will say this. I will not interrupt you like I did the very first time we did this.
That's all right.
Continue on, sir.
All right. So startup expenses. Obviously, I need a vehicle, right? We're a plumbing company, so I got to get a vehicle. I need inventory, parts and tools for the truck. I need water heaters. I need a down payment for that vehicle. I did finance my first vehicle. We'll get into that in a minute. I got to pay sales tax on that vehicle. Wraps and stickers, wrap stickers. So, the decals on the side of the van, customer relationship management system, CRM, the software that we use to run the business, a website. I need a website. I need a phone, online marketing. I need online marketing. I need door hangers, to hang on people's doors. I need a tablet. I need a laptop. I need access to QuickBooks. I need a healthy down payment for my insurance. I need a business license to operate out of the city that we're in and every city around us. I needed to buy cardboard bins for the truck. I needed to buy metal shelving for the truck. I needed to buy drain cleaning equipment, drain machines, sewer machines. I needed to buy a dolly to move water heaters in and out. I needed to legally form the business. So legal formation costs were in
fees,
there.
Yeah.
Accounting, uniforms, so pants and shirts, business cards, and then stickers for water heaters and garbage disposals. That was everything that was on my startup expenses list.
Your initial list.
My initial startup expenses list. And that's kind of like customer-facing type stuff. So now, let's immediately roll into kind of the back end carryover stuff that you also have to factor in. But these aren't really startup expenses. These are just, these are expenses that you're going to have from when you start up and keep going, right? Real estate was on that budget. Am I buying a shop? Am I leasing a shop? Am I working out of my house or whatever? That's on the list. A cell phone was on the list. A landline was on the list. Utility costs. Again, if I'm renting or leasing or owning a shop, I got to pay for water and sewer and all that stuff. Vehicle payment is a carrying expense. Again, I financed my first van. Insurance costs. So this is liability, work comp, and business liability insurance, comp and collision for the vehicle, and then work comp insurance. That was on the list. Marketing was on the list for a proposed monthly budget, credit card fees, office supplies, the monthly cost of the CRM. So that's a renewing cost. I pay it every month. Our monthly cost for QuickBooks Online, a monthly cost for an accountant. And then, as you guys know or may not know, I ended up borrowing money from myself through the form of a home equity line of credit to start the business. And so I even have my HELOC repayment on my monthly budget so that I was making sure to budget to repay that HELOC back off.
Crossing those T's, dotting those I's, baby.
Yeah. And so in this sheet, so that was just two of the columns in this big sheet, but there's a lot of other things in this sheet where I see, and I don't really even remember making this sheet, but I see where I was checking insurance from two different insurance providers. And one of them came out to annual insurance. One of them was $19,000 and one of them was $11,000. Can you take a wild stab at which one I went with?
I remember because I watched it again today.
Yeah.
But like you had said originally, you know, I had been shopping insurance. I'd been, you know, taking bids, this and that, blah, blah, blah. And then a few weeks later, I got a phone call that said, hey, I've been shopping your insurance around. This was your dad at the time. Mm-hmm. I've been shopping your insurance around and it went down. I think I can get it to you for $11,000, like you just said.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. There we go.
Yep.
Budget just went down by $5,000, yeah. $6,000, $7,000, $8,000. What'd you say the first one was? 19?
19.
Okay.
So that's annual. That was $19,000 a year for insurance. But a lot of the insurance stuff is kind of subjective anyway, because business insurance, aside from being one of the biggest scams in the world,
we're not
going to dive into that, but business insurance is based off of your total payroll amount, your total employee count, your total vehicle count, and your total revenue number.
Yeah.
Which is kind of crap because, like, a hypothetical, if Dave and I own incredibly similar businesses, let's say we both have a water heater installation company and we're competitors, we're in the same market. So yeah. Our class codes are going to be the same. But let's say Dave does his water heaters for half the price of mine.
My insurance is
Dave's insurance is significantly cheaper than mine, yeah. Even though our risk to the insurance company is identical.
Yeah. It's not half, but yes.
Yeah. And so just keep that in mind. Your insurance company is going to be asking you what's your projected payroll. They're going to be asking you what's your projected revenue and all of that stuff. When you're getting those quotes, do not shoot them low.
No, because be realistic about what you think it's actually going to be.
Yes. If you tell them that I think I'm going to do $250,000 in my first year in revenue, and you end up doing $500,000 in revenue.
Yeah, you're going to be audited.
You're going to get, every year at renewal, they do what they call a premium audit, which means they go back over the last year and make sure that you were paying the right amount of premium based off of your actual results, not off the forecast.
Yeah.
And if your results were less than you quoted them, then you're going to get a refund on your insurance.
A credit for the next year, usually.
Yeah. And if your results were more than you told them, if you told them you were going to do $250,000 in revenue and you did $500,000, well, now they're going to come back to you and they're going to do what they call audit premium, which means after the audit, they realize, okay, you owe $11,000.
Yeah.
Happened to me my first full year in business.
We have a gentleman in TradeWinds right now, but he's not the only one. Every year, we have at least one guy that this happens to and that he didn't know it was a thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in TradeWinds, I try to do, we have what's called a Monday motivational podcast. And it's either me bitching or complaining or, you know, giving some actual advice.
Or motivating.
Yeah, or motivating. But every quarter I try to do the, at least remember to say, hey, check on your insurance. Make sure that you're up on your taxes for this quarter. You know, because when you're a business owner, those things just fly by. Quarters fly by. Next thing you know, it's November, and you're looking back at your insurance premiums that you've paid and realized, oh, man, we thought we were going to do 1.5, and we're doing 2.5.
Right.
And you don't even remember that you're about to have an insurance audit.
Right.
And you're about to be writing a serious fucking check.
Yeah.
And that's just part of business ownership.
Yep.
You know, but it's one of those things that you need to constantly be evaluating. I hesitate to say every month, but every quarter you probably need to be looking at that stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's definitely something that you keep a good, close relationship with your insurance person, because your insurance person is your friend. It's the system that's broken. It's not your person that's broken, by the way.
Well,
the person's not the scammer. It's the system.
Yeah. I mean, without someone to work the system can't operate. So, you know, I'll give them like a 10% pass.
There you go.
How about that?
let's flip back over to these startup expenses. Okay. These weren't not the monthly budget expenses, but the startup expenses. I started out by putting no values to any of those. I just came up with a list of everything I need day one to run the business. And so then I started putting numbers to the side of that, of like what I expected things to cost. And I would use a red, yellow, green indicator. If I put a number by it and it was a complete wild ass guess and I didn't trust it, it was red. If I started getting some preliminary bids or estimates back, and to where I could be a little bit more sure of the number, it was a yellow. And then once I knew the number was definite, it was a green. And so that let me quickly go through the list and just find all the reds and get pricing on those. And then go through the list and find all the yellows and get pricing on those. And eventually you want the whole list to be green.
Are you tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? The Void Podcast has negotiated exclusive rates for the Void listeners. This program's tailored for trade businesses like yours. And if you're using House Call Pro, switch and you can expect to save $80 for every 10,000 you process per month. Don't let high processing fees drain your profits. Visit empowerpayments.com/the void or call us at 913-423-1265 now and unlock your savings.
But like inventory, we have like 2,000 pieces of material on the truck. Inventory number is not something you're going to get like right away. It took me weeks to get the first inventory number. I had a rough idea, but on here, what's funny is on here, it's listed at $10,750.
Wish you could do that, don't you?
I know, because now it's about $17,000.
I mean, granted, that was, let's be honest, when you started that list, that was 5 years ago?
Yeah, spring of 2020.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, vehicle down payment, I have $1,000 for that. And that was pretty straightforward. I just knew that I was going to have to put $1,000 down on a vehicle. Sales tax on that vehicle, $2,375, because in Missouri we pay sales tax on vehicles. So I had to do that.
Man, wish we could go back to those prices too.
Yeah.
Damn.
I drew up our logo and all of our stickers and everything for the truck. I actually used the photo editing app on my phone and just did it on my phone. So my logo and everything I created from my phone, from my own creation, no Fiverr, no clip art, no nothing like that. It's 100% my own creation. And I ended up trademarking our logo. That was another year or two into business that I did that. But, you know, if you can't design your own logo, then you need to have logo designed in there. And while we're on that subject, be very careful whenever you're narrowing down on a logo, because there's a lot of logos out there that are trademarked and copyrighted. And the only reason you would copyright a logo is because you fully intend on suing somebody that is replicating your logo. So that means if somebody sees you doing business with a very similar logo to them, you will soon get a cease and desist letter from their attorney. And if you continue on, you'll get hosed.
Yeah, you could. For sure.
I've known several business owners to receive those letters.
I'd like to add something to that. It wasn't in the original episode, and then later in that episode, and I know we're going to get, you know, dive into company vehicles here a little bit further along, but, you know, since that first episode, full vehicle wraps, mm-hmm. they are, quote unquote, the new thing.
Yeah,
they're
$5,000.
They are the thing now.
Yeah.
You need to be having a complete vehicle wrap so that you stand out.
Yeah.
There is no more of the white van syndrome, slapping a fucking sticker on there or a logo on there. You need to have a wrap.
Yeah.
If you're going to do it and you're going to go all out and you're going to seriously be in business and try to grow, just bite the bullet now and get a fucking wrap.
Yeah.
If you don't know how to brand, hire a branding company.
Yep.
Just get it done now. How many guys in TradeWinds have we had that have literally had to go through a rebrand?
Quite a few.
40% like, of the people are in the, they're like, oh, I just don't like my, because they did, I give you a pass because yours actually worked out and is great.
Yeah, mine is a decal setup that is, I mean, it was literally to play off the green and white and tan that are our colors. Our colors are green, white, tan, and blue. And so I used the white of the van to kind of play into that. But,
I mean, I want to say you dodged a bullet, but you intentionally dodged a bullet.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
I was trying to keep startup costs down. I knew a full wrap would be in my future, and I knew I didn't have the artistic ability to design a full wrap, so I could get the base point down on it and then go from there.
And let's be honest, though. At that time, full wraps weren't a huge deal. So your wrap at the time in our area still was above the average.
Yeah.
It was really nice.
Yeah, it wasn't a full wrap, but it definitely looks really, really good and still does.
Yeah.
I've talked to a couple of branding experts about like what converting our current branding look would be to a full wrap setup. And it's really like keeping the same structure and just adding some color behind it to eliminate the white van syndrome.
Yeah, it's just back colors and adding depth.
Yeah, and I'll give a plug here to Dan Antonelli. If you're in the trades business, you may have heard of him. If you haven't, go find his book. He has a book called Branded, Not Blanded. And it dives into all of the things about how you can separate yourself from the others by branding your company really well instead of blending in with, that's where, like that, he talks about white van syndrome in that book, and that's why we're referencing that.
And, you know,
that.
Back in the day, it was very easy to just say, I'll deal with that later, because it wasn't a big deal, but it's a big deal now. You are money ahead just biting the bullet and getting it done.
Well, and they have to have your truck for like a week to do the wrap.
Yeah.
So the last thing you want to do is get off and running and then be down for a week because your truck's in the shop getting wrapped.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things that, you know, in business finance prep, it's one of those things that's moved up the list.
Yeah.
Yep. You know what I mean?
CRM, I didn't know, like at the time I put CRM on the list, I was checking out a couple of different CRMs. We ended up settling in on Service Fusion. And I don't think Field Pulse was even in existence when we were looking. I definitely didn't shop them whenever we were looking. I know Field Pulse sponsors our show now. I'm still running Service Fusion, not a knock on Field Pulse at all. It's just once you're in and established in business, changing CRMs is a very volatile move. And so I don't want to do that unless I absolutely have to. And Service Fusion is still working really good for us.
Well, let's talk about that just for a little bit. Like the bigger you get, the harder of a change it is.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when you are starting out and you know that you're going to have to pick a CRM and you're going to go with it, spend some time.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about this in later episodes, but spend some time and actually pick one that you're very comfortable with,
mm-hmm.
that you can navigate well. And just go with it.
Yeah.
And buy into it.
I tell everybody looking at CRMs, and I know our friends at Field Pulse probably listen to this, and they still support this too, because it actually helps them out. I tell everybody, like, CRMs are kind of like cell phones. David is an Apple cell phone person. I'm an Android cell phone person. We would claw each other's eyes out if we had to trade phones. He wouldn't know how my phone works. I wouldn't know how his phone works. And it's just kind of the way your thought process lands. And so I tell everybody, go check out Field Pulse, check out Service Fusion, and check out House Call Pro. And between those three, you're going to find one that you just naturally jive with better.
Yeah,
you just understand it better.
Yeah, makes sense.
That's the one you want
to
use.
Yeah.
And you won't ever see me push you to one way or the other, because it's literally that important. I know how uncomfortable it would be if you stuck an iPhone in my hand and said, this is your new phone. I'd freaking hate it.
Yeah.
And I definitely wouldn't want that with a CRM. So check out those three CRMs, Field Pulse, Service Fusion, and House Call Pro, and then just go with the one that you understand the best. That's one where your gut feeling is really going to help you out there.
Yeah.
Website. I'm trying to give you values on this too. So my first wrap sticker decal setup was $500. Now they run me about $1,000. Everything on this list has almost doubled in price since then.
Oh yeah. What's Antonelli charge for a branding?
About 30 grand.
30 grand. Mammoth. I think Mammoth is at 15.
Yeah.
Something like that. But it is a very valuable investment.
Yes.
Let's be honest. If you want to really crack your market and you want to have 5 to 10 fans, you're going to do it eventually anyway. Do it now.
Well, and the thing with the branding thing is, like, we could do a whole show on branding. The thing with the branding thing is, like, I know Antonelli does this because I've talked to him. They actually the reason his is so expensive, they spend a lot of time examining every player in your market. They examine shape, style, colors, letter shapes. They examine everything. And they will build you a brand that does not even come close to resembling anybody else in your market.
Yeah, they want you to stand out.
Yeah, and so if everyone else in your market's using bright fluorescent colors, then red, white, and blue might be yours, even though Dan does not like the red, white, and blue colors.
It works in certain markets, though.
It works if that's the only color palette that's not been exploited, right?
Yeah.
But if you have everyone else in your company or everyone else in your area has a lot of red in their logo, you don't want red in yours because it's going to blend in.
No, you're going to rock purple, and it's going to be fantastic.
Right, right. So that's where you'll see guys have like purple trucks and pink trucks and stuff like that. They're not doing it because they like the color. They're doing it because it grabs your attention. It's a business move. So don't let your pride get in the way of your brand. And definitely branding is one of those things where I don't care if your brother-in-law is a graphic artist. If he's not good at building home brands, don't let him. There's a lot of people that build home brands that because they can kind of design a little bit on a computer and they suck.
Yeah.
They're very hard to read. You got to picture your brand's going down the road at 60 miles an hour. Yeah. You only got like 2 seconds to look at the truck.
People can confuse branding with what they like versus what is going to stick out and get attention.
Exactly.
So they kind of get, they wormhole themselves a little bit. Well, I don't like that. Well, I don't like this. Well, I don't like that. Well, it really ain't about what you fucking like. It's about what when you're driving down the road, Miss Susie Q is going to remember what your fucking van looked like. And then when she Googles plumber near me or HVAC guy near me or whatever, that she remembers you.
Yep.
That's what branding really is about. It really, to be honest, your opinion doesn't matter that fucking much.
Right. Right.
I mean, it's sad to say, but
it's,
you know.
It's very true.
Yeah, very true.
It's very true. So what you're shooting for there is you're shooting for results, not a pretty picture in your mind.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Website. I paid your brother $950 to build my first website.
Old Joe.
Phone system. So we found out that it was going to cost about $75 a month for the phone system. Online marketing is at zero because we started out doing zero online marketing. But it was on the budget list. I just didn't. Yeah. We just didn't do it. Door hangers. I spent $510 on 2,000 door hangers
that you still own.
And
to
I still
this day.
Yeah. No. I guess it was 1,000.
Did you get rid of them? You still
it
was
1,000 door hangers. I think each box has 250 in it, and I still have 750 of them left.
How much will you pay me to hang them?
Nothing.
Like I can't get 25 cents a door hanger?
I've hung 250 of them, and we've only ever had one person call in from them. So I would not recommend door hangers as a good way to go.
I'm trying to earn some extra cash here.
I had $35 set aside for the tablet. It's one of those things where when you have your phone system through them, you just pay $35 and you get the tablet. And
yeah, it's
good.
More than that now. It's probably 150.
Yeah, they cost us about $100 a piece now.
Yeah.
Laptop was $980. QuickBooks cost $35 a month. Insurance down payment was $452.
These numbers are so crazy. QuickBooks 62 now. That laptop is still the original laptop, probably. Like,
yeah.
Although laptops, you know, they're only $900 for a really nice one.
Yeah, yeah. Business license for Blue Springs, the city that we're in, was $77 back then. Cardboard bins. So I use metal shelving with cardboard bins for all of our stuff. So there was $210 for cardboard bins. I had $30 for additional nuts and bolts, screws, and truck hardware that I may need to mount stuff with.
Yep.
$5,000 for two Spartan drain machines and $605 for a small rigid sink machine. Shelving was $2,000 through American Van.
What's it now, Mitch? Do you know?
It's,
I'm just curious. Is it $3,500 maybe?
Nah, shelving's probably still in the twos.
Still about the same?
I bet it's not over three, but it might be $2,500. A dolly. I had $100 for a dolly to get water heaters in and out. $121 for probably LegalZoom to do some legal formation stuff for me. This is not the Secretary of State type thing. This is some other things that you're doing.
Okay. I thought you were going to say you can actually pay LegalZoom to do that Secretary of State stuff for you. And I think it is like $125.
Yeah, it's not much.
You can do that yourself, though.
Yeah. My first accountant when I first opened, I am three accountants from this person now. But
Don't
my
got
first
fired, man.
Yeah, my first accountant was $150 a month. Uniforms back then cost me $400. They now cost $1,000. Business cards were $110, and then oval stickers for water heaters and garbage disposals and all that stuff was $305. So all of that totals to $26,565.
Yeah, I think originally on the other episode, I think you did say 30.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's.
Yep. And so
right in the wheelhouse, buddy.
Because I knew, like, I was very confident that I'm going to be very productive with those purchases. I knew that inventory, those shelves, all the tools, everything, that was going to get me really, really started. And so I ended up borrowing $30,000 from my home equity line of credit. And I had refinanced my house and I got a home equity line of credit. And the neat thing about a HELOC is if I borrow $15,000 this month and I pay it all back this month, I don't owe any interest. It's kind of like a credit card, only it's secured debt because it's secured with the house.
What is a credit card?
Yeah.
I mean, it acts just like a credit card.
Yeah, it's just secured.
Just reports different.
And so what I did was, knowing all of the startup expenses, I did two draws for my home equity line of credit, both for $15,000. About 3 to 4 weeks before I opened our doors, I pulled out $15,000 and, I started buying the stuff that was going to take a little bit of time to get here.
Like, do you mean like shelves and material and things of that nature?
I bought the shelves. I bought the drain machines because there's a shipping process to get the drain machines here. Started doing the legal formation stuff, the dolly, bought the van, things like that. And then about 2 weeks before we opened our doors, I pulled out another $15,000. And that's where I bought my inventory. And some of those things that I could just do very quickly. That's where we got signed up with our CRM and all of those kinds of things. Got our phones up and running and everything else.
Yeah.
And so I was all in at $30,000 to start the business. And, we did about 20. All right. So you've newly started your company and you're trying to pinch pennies. However, you don't realize the biggest thing that's hurting you right now is not gathering all of your information into one spot and making it super efficient for you to use. So the answer is Field Pulse. It gets you off of paper tickets. It gets you off of all of that crazy office work at the end of the day and reconciling all that stuff. And it lets you organize everything with ease. It puts it all into the computer. It actually puts it all into the cloud. So it's not even putting it on your computer. And it lets you organize your customers. It lets you organize all of your service calls. Heck, it'll even route you to your service call. And the best part is, even after all of that, you'll probably realize about a 100% growth in your business just in the first year of using Field Pulse. So if you'd like to check out Field Pulse and see what great looks like, click on the link in the description of this.
If I remember right, we did about $25,000 in revenue our first month right out of the gate. And so it was kind of relieving to...
I want to say that you, just thinking back, I want to say you told me, hey, I paid all that money back for that first HELOC in a month and a half.
3 months.
3 months.
Yeah. Let me go...
And while you're looking, whatever you're looking at there, the real point of putting that list together and trying to get that budget together is... You really need to know what it's going to take when you open your doors. And the more detailed you can be inside of that list, the more accurate you can be,
mm-hmm.
the more set up you are for success.
Yep.
Because you're not going to have that, oh, I forgot that I needed, and just to go off of your plumbing analogy, I didn't even think I needed a sewer machine, or I didn't think of I needed that shelving for this, or oh, I didn't think I needed, you know, to have a full brand wrap and all of that stuff.
Right.
And then those expenses sneak up on you, and then you find yourself in a hole immediately, not because of expenses that you incurred, but because you weren't diligent in your startup costs.
Right.
You know what I mean? So you've immediately dug a hole that you didn't even, that shouldn't have existed is probably a better way to say that. So when we say, and I know we said this in the original episode too, this isn't one of those things that when you start, you're going to sit down and do in 2 hours while having a bourbon or a couple of beers. This is one of those things that you have to sit down and think about on a nightly basis for a month, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months while you're still at your job and you're preparing.
Yeah.
Because let's be honest, when you try to rush things and you don't put in the due diligent time and let your brain kind of reset and think about what it's actually going to take, you miss things.
Yeah.
You miss a lot of things.
Yeah, you need some sleeps for sure.
Yeah, and you're like, and I texted you today and said, hey, do you still have that list? Because I thought it was a very good example of of detailed orientation as far as what is it going to take to get a business off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And it really was. And I was even surprised listening today. I listened to it again today about not just how detailed it was, but you had actually gone into, hey, it took me X amount of time.
Yeah.
Like, it took me a long time to put this together. And that speaks to, you know, personal dedication. It speaks to discipline. It speaks to all of those things that embody a good business owner.
Mm-hmm.
And making that list is kind of like your first self-check of what is it going to take to run a business? Do I have what it takes?
Right.
How specific can I be in this list? How close can I get that budget? Like, it's a great personal challenge.
Yeah.
You know, like, if you think back on it, okay, I said 30 grand and it took me 34. Man, I was only 4 grand off. I don't know if we ever talked about what it actually ended up costing you, but, like, you know, there is some pride and some, I don't know what the word is, but there's some, like, self-satisfaction in, I was this close,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
that's a really good, you know, one of the first few steps to take when you're starting out in business.
Yeah.
You know, and it's kind of like your first gut check, if yeah. you will, you know?
Well, and I mean, that's essentially business all the way through, is
yeah.
business is literally about making financial investments into people and material and marketing and customers for a return on that investment that exceeds your investment,
yeah.
right?
Yeah,
and
yeah,
so,
yeah.
in other words, I'm going to buy $200 of material and I'm going to commit 3 hours of my time and the customer is going to pay me $1,000 for this repair. That's an investment with a decent ROI, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, same thing here is I'm going to invest $30,000 in getting a truck financed and acquired and then built and get ready. And then I need to put a return on that ROI, right?
That's a good way to say it.
Put a return on that investment.
Yeah.
So so we opened our doors in August of 2020. August 1st was a Saturday.
2020.
That was our first day open. We did $28,340 that month, which was kind of cool because we borrowed $30,000 to start the company, and we did almost $30,000 in revenue. Now, that's revenue. Like, we didn't pay the loan off in a month.
No,
right?
Of course not.
But
I mean, let's be honest, like, all of that preparation, and I don't want this to be super long-winded, but all mm-hmm. of that preparation and all of that, you know, crossing your T's, dotting your I's, and knowing where you were going to be at allowed you to do that. Like,
yeah.
you had set yourself up for success in that first month. If you had just willy-nilly been out, like, okay, day one, I opened my doors, and then I went out and got a truck. You know, I went out and instead of having inventory...
Your month one numbers are going to be shit.
Yeah. Instead of having inventory, I just went to the Ferguson every time I needed parts.
Yeah.
You weren't doing 28, you were doing, you know,
18,
whatever. Like, the diligence to put that list together and be prepared is what made that first month so successful.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's why it's so important.
That allowed me to literally open our doors August 1st and start serving customers that day.
Yeah.
I still remember our very first service call. I actually remember our first two service calls that day. Because I had one and I thought, wow, this is going to be our first service call. And then my buddy, Travis, called me up and he was like, dude, can you auger my main? My main line's clogged.
I'm fucked, dog. Help me out.
And so I stopped by his house and augered his main sewer first and then went and served this other customer.
That's great.
But yeah, all of this prep and everything else ahead of time, like day one out of the truck, my truck was stocked, stickered, ready to go. I looked professional. I looked like established. I looked like I'd been in business for a long time, and I had been in business for 2 hours.
Yeah.
So, it's
hard to prep and do all of that stuff after you start running calls.
Yeah.
It makes it an extremely difficult uphill battle if you want to take that stuff on after the fact.
Yep.
You should literally set time aside
mm-hmm.
and get all of that stuff in order and organized before you even think about taking that first call.
Yep.
Very
yep.
important.
So while we're talking accounting fees here real fast, I do want to touch on something. Your accountant is like your financial cheerleader, so make sure you got a good one. And if you have any weird feelings about them, keep looking for a different one. Anybody can do accounting, but there's very few people that can do accounting and actually help your business, right? A lot of accountants just like counting beans. They don't want to tell you how to get more beans, They just want to tell you how to count them. That's why I nickname them bean counters.
Well, and accountants in a service-based industry, it's a whole other set of skills.
Yeah.
Like, try, when you sit down and talk to one, ask them, hey, have you worked with any home service companies before?
Yeah.
And if they say, no, you're my first, move on.
Yeah.
Okay, and they may be a great accountant, but there are certain things that they're kind of like lawyers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there are criminal lawyers. Mm-hmm. There are real estate lawyers. You know, there are domestic lawyers,
mm-hmm.
you know, for family service stuff.
Yep.
Like, they have their specific fields of expertise. Find one that knows your industry at least a little bit.
Yep.
Or else it's going to cost you later. You're going to be you're going to be battling them the whole time. And that's a problem.
Yeah. So my first accountant was costing me about $150 a month. And I'm asking him a whole bunch of questions because we did decent revenue in our first month with just me running out of a truck. And I had like $10,000 extra cash in the bank at the end of that first month. And I'm like, sweet. And so I'm starting to talk to her about paying off the HELOC and how does this affect taxes and everything else. And she's like, well, you'll have to ask your tax person. And I'm like,
girl, you are my tax person.
I thought that's what you were. And she goes, no, I don't do your taxes. I'm not a tax accountant. I'm just an accountant.
She was just a bookkeeper.
Basically a glorified bookkeeper.
She was a bookkeeper.
Right.
Yeah.
And
I forgot about that. That's great.
And so I fired them right out of the gate, and I got a different accountant that was actually a really good cheerleader. Bad accountant, but good cheerleader. And to give you an idea of what that kind of looks like is they pep talked me up a little bit and said, wow, this is good. You keep performing like this, you're going to pay that HELOC off real fast. And so my next month out of the gate, we did $34,521 in revenue.
Nice.
So that's like a $6,000 increase in revenue. And literally, I can attribute it to I had an accountant in my corner that was now cheerleading me and encouraging me.
Yeah,
right?
Let's get it, dog.
And so now I'm 2/3 of the way to paying off our goal, paying off the startup cost, because I had about another 20 grand extra. Now I had about 20 grand extra in the bank. And so month three, October of 2020, we did another $30,000 month, $31,182. And I had, now we have done basically 90 grand in sales, a little over 90 grand in sales, almost 100 grand in sales. And I had enough to pay off our startup cost, our a whole HELOC, all
You're
30
like,
grand of it, in 1 month.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, hell yes. And so I paid the HELOC off, and now I have a full-fledged standalone business that its only debt was our van. No other debt, no other nothing, our van, and that was it. And so under the advice of my accountant, so when I started my company, I was driving a 98 Ford Ranger. We called it the Danger Ranger. I bought it for like $800 or something. He gave me the encouragement. He was like, you have been busting your ass 7 days a week for 3 months straight. You are going to burn out if you don't watch out. Like, you need to reward yourself. You were humble in the humble in the beginning, meaning you
the very 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 beginning.
Yeah, in other words, like, you were driving the $800 truck and everything else. Like, reward yourself a little bit. You've got this figured out. You're on a good trajectory. And so I went out and bought a used pickup truck. So I got AC again. That was kind of nice. My Danger Ranger didn't have AC, so.
Oh my god! You know, you could have called me. We could have charged that bitch up, or did it not have?
No,
any
it didn't hold it.
Compressor or nothing.
You know, it
leaked out in 5 minutes.
Yeah, but then I put the leak stuff on it, and I never could figure out where it was leaking. I think it was leaking out of like the compressor.
Yeah.
So
it was the evaporator coil inside the dash.
Inside the dash,
yeah,
probably.
You can't get in there.
Ugh.
It's tough. Ugh.
But also because I had been grinding away so hard. That month four in business, we only did 20 grand in revenue. Why? I was freaking tired. I had done a notable thing.
Yeah, it took you 3 months.
I
did
paid
it for
off,
10 years. I was exhausted.
Well, no, no.
I'm just kidding,
I
man.
Paid off our $30,000 startup costs in 3 months.
Yeah.
And paid myself along the way. It's not even like I didn't even take a paycheck along the way. And so I coasted a little bit that next month. I recuperated a little bit. I spent a little bit of time with my family. And so I wasn't hunting for work as hard. But very next month out of the gate, $34,109. So we were right back in it the very next month. So
sometimes you got to take a little breather.
Yeah. Yeah, just a little breather. Nothing crazy. But let's keep working down the list here. Go ahead.
I do want to talk about, so something we glossed over that we talked about in the initial episode, and it's not going to take very long, but we talked about shop space.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, do I work at home? Do I lease a space? Do I buy a building? And I think the one point that we really kind of hammered in that episode was, do not burden yourself with a shop payment if you do not absolutely have to.
Yes.
Okay. You and I both have seen big companies, or young companies, I should say, come out of the gates, get a shop, buy a shop, lease a big shop, and then they're focusing all their attention on trying to make that payment, and they fold, or they fire three guys, or they don't have the work to keep up with it, and they have to reset.
Yep.
There is no need to burden yourself with that huge expense right out of the gate.
Right.
And I think that that remains true today, probably even more than it did 3 years ago.
Yeah.
I think that's, like, do not think, well, I have to keep up with the Joneses and I got to have a shop.
Yeah. We were in business a year and a half before we got a shop. And it's kind of weird how we got a shop. We didn't need it. But one of the things that we'll talk about later will explain why we had to get a shop. But yeah, I'll get to that in a minute.
I mean, just an example for myself. You know, people, so in the HVAC space, you know, well, how do you do metal if you don't have a shop? You know, this and that, blah, blah, blah. I mean, you can do a lot with a 4-foot break in a Pittsburgh machine, or a 4-foot break in a 3-foot snap lock machine. And if you're doing big jobs, you're going to be, you can order that, like around here, there's wholesale sheet metal, and there's Excelsior. You can order that and then just make your own custom fittings. There are ways around it.
Yeah.
You know, or buddy up with someone and ask if you can rent a small space from them in their shop.
Right.
You know, there are a lot of ways and there are a lot of workarounds. Do not be too proud to ask other people in your industry for help, or your friends for help.
Yep.
You know, make it a last resort to lease a space or buy a space, is my point.
Yeah, so, totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
Go ahead.
Okay, so going down the list here.
Should I shut it?
No.
Shut that laptop. Click, click.
Uniforms. So I bought 10 uniforms. That was cargo pants and button-down shirts. Those were $400. Business cards at $110. When I made my first round of business cards, because the company is named after me, I didn't want customers to know I was the owner, and so my first business cards just said Mitchell, or Mitch, I think is what they said.
Alan Mitchell Smedley.
They didn't even have my last. I mean, they had my last name on it because they had our logo on it. But I didn't want people to be like, Mitch Smedley, oh, you're the owner?
Yeah, just said Mitch.
Or is your dad the owner? Or, you know, like, who
That's
knows?
That's the worst.
Right?
Your dad start this? No, fuck you, man.
But, you know, there's actually, so later on, I ended up getting business cards. I had two sets. I had one with my name on it and one without. And depending on who I was talking to, if I was talking to vendors and stuff like that, yeah, it's got my full name on it. It says president of Smedley Plumbing, all that stuff on there. But then my customer-facing business cards were just Mitch, Master Plumber. So, and then the stickers, to put on water heaters and stuff like that. So, going through all of those, you know, those prices obviously are greatly different now, but, I mean, our sales price is greatly different as well. Let's flip over onto the carrying cost side of things. Startup expenses was $75 for a cell phone. And then that also becomes a carrying cost. It's $75 a month, right?
Yeah.
My startup expense was $1,000 down for the vehicle. My vehicle payment on that vehicle was $615 a month. And so now that we're at the vehicle part, I'll chat about that for a second. I financed my first vehicle because I could have paid cash for it, but I did not want to spend that much cash out of the gate. To me, that cash was more valuable in my possession than wrapped up in a vehicle. In other words, if a commercial business calls me and they need an $18,000 water heater installed,
you want to have the cash.
To have the cash to go be able to buy their water heater.
Liquidity is a real thing.
Yeah.
In business. And especially when you're starting out and you don't want to say no to anything. You just want yes.
Yeah.
Having that cash sitting around is very nice.
Yeah. And so to me, it made sense to finance the first vehicle. Now, I had to finance the first vehicle before I quit my W-2, because the moment you quit your W-2 job, you're unemployed. All of this right here that we're talking about, me starting up, this is all LLC. And when you are a single member LLC, the banks look at you like you ain't got no job.
Because you don't have a job.
Because you don't have a job, right? And so I actually bought my vehicle using an application of that showed all of my income from my previous employer. And I bought my vehicle while I was still employed with my previous employer. So it was all legit. But I bought the vehicle, and then 2 weeks later, I quit.
Sometimes you got to ride that fence rail, dude.
Yeah, got to ride the fence a little bit, right?
Yeah.
So, ironically, I'm getting ready to do a similar play to that again, where finances are getting ready to change, and I'm going to need a loan. And so I'm getting ready to run a similar play to that again. But
Allegedly,
yeah.
Allegedly, sir.
So carrying cost for the vehicle was $615. Insurance cost me $452 a month when I opened. And as I learned later, that was $1,000 a month too low.
Mm. That's tough.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough.
That sucks.
I didn't know that. Or maybe I don't remember that.
So my first year in business, they went through and did their audit and found out that I owed $11,000 and I had 15 days to pay it.
Yeah.
And so basically what it is like I was taking wild ass guesses at, I don't know what my payroll is going to be. I have no clue, right?
If I don't know what my income is and I'm the sole earner, I don't know what I'm going to be paying myself.
Yeah.
Like, it's just,
there was a lot of unknown there. So be ready for that. Marketing, I budgeted $1,500 a month for marketing. Most likely that was all going into search engine optimization. Credit card fees, $360 a month in credit card fees. Office supplies at $150 a month. CRM was costing me $200 a month at that time. It's now about $400. QuickBooks Online is $35 a month, and I was paying $100 a month for my accountant. And so, that kind of summarizes up a lot of the stuff. Now, I do want to take a step back and go to the vehicle thing for a second.
Yeah, let's smash that out a little bit.
Yeah, I am a very thrifty person. I'm very organized, and I do well working with very little. And so what that means as far as me being a plumber is I don't have gobs and gobs and gobs of tools. And something about plumbers, they love buying their tools, right? To me, it's like, why buy a tool for that? Because I'll have to walk to the truck and get the tool when I could just use this tool instead. And by the time I walk to the truck to get the other tool and come back, this tool gets it off.
That's our age, man.
Yeah.
I'm the same way.
Yeah, a lot of it's our age, right?
I will rig anything I got to do to get a job done.
Yeah.
I don't care.
And so what that meant was I didn't need a ton of space on my van for tools. I was literally working out of I had a tool box that had big, heavy tools in it, like pipe wrenches and things like that, that you kind of keep all together.
Yeah, one-timers.
Yeah, you don't want your pipe wrench breaking your tape measure being in the same box, right? And so...
it's not where I thought you were going with that, but you're right.
Yeah, and so like I had a big heavy box with big heavy tools in it, meter keys and pipe wrenches and stuff like that. I had a go bag that had everything in it that I would need in a home. And then, I had some other smaller tools like Dremels and, leak detectors and things like that. But very thrifty with tools. And so the first van that I bought was a medium height, medium length Ford Transit. And then as I started getting ready to grow the company, 7 months in, I bought truck number two.
Yeah.
With cash.
I remember.
And it was another medium length van, although this one was a high roof medium length van.
Yep.
A little more headspace in there is it. And then a month and a half after that, month eight, I bought van number three. And it was another medium height, medium length van. Well, so by month 9 and 10 and 11, I had hired two more plumbers. And so now we're all running around in medium-length vans. And I come to find out that they've taken the water heaters off their vans and put them in their garages because they needed more room on those vans for their tools.
Yeah.
They had significantly more tools than I did. And so I'm not about to stand in somebody's way for how they do their craft, right? I'm not going to judge you for what tools you have to do the craft. I'm judging your finished product and your finished product alone. And if you want, four extra tools to do the same job it takes me to do without those four extra tools, great. I don't care. I literally have no concerns on it. But I recognized very quickly that, okay, if they're taking the water heaters off to fit all their tools on there, that's killing our productivity and our efficiency because now when they sell a water heater, they don't have any more room on their truck. So they got to go back and get their water heater, right?
Yeah.
And so
you want your guys to be as comfortable as possible.
Yeah.
in their office. And
right.
Their office is the van.
Is the van.
And they want, it doesn't matter if the way they have it set up pisses you off so bad that you want to fire them. It doesn't matter.
Yep.
They need to be comfortable to succeed. And when they succeed, your business succeeds.
Yeah.
And so whatever you think sometimes doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah.
You know?
And so there came a moment where it's like, crap, I've got the wrong size vans. I need extended length vans. Extended length vans are 30 inches longer in the cargo area.
You know what that holds? A water heater.
That holds a water heater. And it also is 30 inches longer on the other side too.
Yeah.
And so what it allowed us to do was it got our water heater slot back. It got us some extra shelving, and it opened up what ended up being like a 60-inch shelf on the passenger side for yeah. all of their tools.
Yep.
And so it was awesome. And we got the water heater in there. And so this all happened. So I bought the first van in 2020. I bought the next two vans with cash in early 21. By late 21, we had already realized these are the wrong vans. Ouch. Because I don't know if you guys remember about vehicle pricing around the COVID era, but between 20 and 21, vehicles about doubled in price. And so I was buying vehicles for $30,000 to $35,000 cash. And now when it came time to replace them, I was spending $69,000 for each vehicle. So that was my first big mistake in business, was buying the wrong vans.
Yeah.
And then all those vehicle stickers and wraps, they had to come off.
Yeah.
Right?
Had to start over.
And so I had to buy all new vehicle stickers and wraps. I had to spend all of my time moving all of the shelving over from one van to the other and building new shelving because they're bigger and everything else. So when you're picking out your vehicle, don't think you can skimp. Go bigger than you think you need. Nobody has, I'll take this back. I've only ever ran into one person that regretted buying too big of a vehicle. And that's one of our Tradewinds guys in Tennessee. He lives in a very hilly part of Tennessee, and they have a lot of steep driveways and the long transits drag going in and out of driveways.
Work for him.
And so there's a case where it wouldn't work. But if you don't have that issue, go big. Like, trust me, nobody's ever regretted buying too big of a vehicle.
Yeah. Even in the HVAC space.
Yeah.
Like pipe, ductwork, equipment.
Yeah.
Like get as big as you think you can go. I'm not saying you got to get a box truck, but I mean, damn.
Yeah.
You need something that has some space in it.
Yep. Yep. Exactly. So yeah, that was one of my bigger mistakes. So like going through like the 80% versus like what's the 20% that I messed up on. Obviously part of that 20% is the vehicles. We were looking at the wrong vehicles. And then there were some other things like first aid kits for the vans. Those aren't on my list, but every van has one.
Yep.
Right.
And you've, I think Missouri law says you have to have one.
Yeah. You know, other things like cell phone cases and tablet cases and screen protectors.
Yeah.
That's all stuff that you got to buy. You got to have it.
Yeah. Chargers, tablet holders, if you want them to be, you know, propped up so they can sit in the van and actually use it like it's a computer.
Right.
You know, those are all little things that add up.
Yeah. Credit card swipers. You know, you got to buy a $100 swiper so you can swipe credit cards.
Yeah.
Little things like that. So I didn't have mine perfect, but I mean, we still made do, right?
Yeah.
So,
but there are things to talk about. And I don't want to push you here, but you got about 15 minutes.
Yeah, I know.
So I do want to talk about raising money to start your business.
Mm-hmm.
Like just, I know we did it. We kind of talked about it in personal finance prep, but we're going to talk about it in business finance prep too. The first thing we talked about was borrowing from your 401k,
mm-hmm.
which to this day, I will stand and say, don't do that.
Yeah.
Unless it is your the last resort you have.
I didn't borrow from mine.
No, I know. If at all costs you can avoid from, sorry, my phone's going off. I'm not sure what's going on here at my house. If you can avoid it at all, do not borrow money out of your 401k. Do not take money out of your 401k. That is something that is setting your future up later. Old Mitch is going to be mad as fuck at young Mitch if he takes that money out, regardless of if he pays him back.
Yep.
You know what I mean? When you take money out of your 401k, you're robbing years off of your growth.
Yep.
And that's a problem. HELOC loans. That's what you did.
Yeah.
I think it was confusing in the very first couple of episodes. HELOC is home equity line of credit. And mm-hmm. we went back and forth through that like three or four different times. That is, okay, you have a $200,000 home. You owe $100,000 on it. You can, so your equity is $100,000. Mm-hmm. You can borrow 80% of that. That's $80,000.
Well, you can borrow up to 80% of the value of your home.
Yeah,
so you can borrow up to 160.
If you have a $200,000 home, mm-hmm, and you owe 100, mm-hmm, your equity is 100.
Right.
You can borrow 80% of that. That's $80,000.
Yeah. Check with your banks on that and see. I'm sure every bank's going to be a little bit different.
They will not loan you $160,000 if you already owe $100,000 on a $200,000 home.
No. What I'm saying is when I did mine, the loan-to-value ratio was 80%. So your primary mortgage plus your HELOC can't total more than 80% of the value of your home. So that'd be, in that scenario, it'd be 160 instead of 180.
Oh, okay. So, even less.
Even less, yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So you could really only borrow 60.
Yeah, yeah.
In not 160.
In that scenario, it would be 60. So, and plan on that. Plan on, you know, if you have a $500,000 house and you owe 250 on it, you have 250 of equity, 80% of 500,000 is 400. So you could borrow between the 250 and the 400, which would be 150 grand. So David's got to do some math here.
That's right. That's right. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
But yeah, 80% loan to value. And that's one of those things that's always changing, depending on the economy, depending on the federal interest rate and all that stuff. So sometimes they're asking for bigger down payments. Sometimes they're lowering the percentage of loan to value, all of those things. So work with some banks, check with a couple banks, because you're going to find very quickly that banks are wildly different. I had one bank.
Yeah, wildly inconsistent.
Yeah. The bank that we banked with for 18 months when we started our company denied me to get vehicle loans. I went to a different bank that I had never set foot in their bank before ever.
They were like, hell yeah, bro.
They loaned me $250,000 to buy vehicles.
Well, here you go.
And it's like, wow, I have no relationship with them. You guys see all my cash flow and you said no. And this bank over here that doesn't know me from anybody is like, here's $250,000.
People don't realize that banks have boards, and then those boards are made up of actual individuals. And sometimes those individuals' ages range drastically.
Yeah.
And so they decide what is happening inside of that bank.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. It's just part of it.
Yeah, of course it is.
So yeah, to your point, the HELOC is a great option.
Sorry, we got off task a little bit there.
Yep. Another great option is if you have a family member you can borrow money from, you can do that, but just make sure you put a structured repayment plan in place and stick to it, right? Don't be like, well, it's my dad, so I don't have to pay him this month. No. Honor your commitments, right?
Yeah.
If how we do one thing is how we do everything, and if you're feeling like you want to short somebody money simply because you kind of know them, well, if you're going to short your friend's money, go short anybody money.
Well, if you're going to short people money, you're a shitty business owner and you have shitty character, and fuck you.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, like, I know a lot of shitty business owners that have done really well, but it seems to almost always catch up with them.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, I'm not calling y'all out on your character, but your character sucks if you're that kind of person.
Yeah, it definitely happens. But yeah, any way you can come up with the money, do it.
Yeah.
And then pay it back. That's the big thing. You can take a loan from your 401k.
Yeah.
It's going to have some interest on it. The interest is tax deductible to the business. You can take a loan from your 401k and pay it back. That's fine. Don't cash out money from your 401k. Like, plan on wherever you get the money, plan on putting it back, right? Now, the only way that wouldn't really apply, and I would probably still apply it for me, is like, let's say you've got the money, the startup money in savings. You could borrow, like, you could pull it out of savings and start it up. Still plan on paying it back. Your initial investment into the business, so my initial $30,000 into the business, what that meant was the first $30,000 in profit I showed, I had to pay no tax on.
Yeah.
Because I'm just recouping my $30,000. I put $30,000 post-tax into the business.
Yeah.
And so I can take $30,000 out of the business
tax-free. With no tax liability.
Because
you already paid taxes on that money the first time.
Yeah.
They can't get you twice.
Right.
I mean, they're going to try eventually.
They're going to try.
But someday.
Yeah. So all of those things are great ways to try to finance the business.
Let's wrap up here, but I want to say one more thing that mm-hmm. we talked about in that episode specifically was make sure that you do your due diligence and keep everything in your business separated from your personal. If yes. you're borrowing money from yourself, write up a document. If you're borrowing up money, if you're borrowing money from a friend, write up a document.
Mm-hmm.
If you're paying yourself a check from the business, write it from the business out of the business checking account to your personal account. Keep that stuff separated.
Don't go buy groceries on the business debit card.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Do not accidentally pay. Accidents do happen, but if you accidentally buy something for yourself that was supposed to be for the business or vice versa, fix it.
Yeah, okay. You code that as an owner's draw, by the way, in your QuickBooks.
Yes.
I've made that mistake.
I've done it too.
My son needed a transmission job on his truck, and the bill came to like $800. And I accidentally grabbed the wrong card, and I paid for it with the business.
Well, you used the same business you were paying for work on your transits too.
Yeah.
And so it was, you just told Danielle, hey, pay this.
Yeah.
And she just pays it and moves on. And the next thing you know, oh shit, I got to fix this.
Yeah. That was a personal vehicle expense. Right. And so Danielle had to go into our QuickBooks.
Yeah. You're going to have to make a journal entry and you're going to have to fix that stuff. Keep everything separated
yep.
as best you can.
Yep.
So that there isn't trouble down the road. And it seems petty, but when you're first starting out, if you can develop those habits later down the road, when you're making serious money, and you're doing things the right way, the less trouble you're going to have.
Yeah.
And the more above board you're going to be.
Yeah. Yeah. We have the business pay for some personal things because those are the perks of owning the business, but it's a very short list and it's a very structured list.
And it's by the law.
Yeah.
It's still kosher.
Yeah. It's we're all above board, but like the business ain't going and buying me groceries.
Nope.
The business isn't paying for nights out on the town.
Nope.
The business is not paying for new shoes. If the business will pay for clothing as long as it has the logo on it, that's an advertising and marketing expense.
Yeah. And that's one of those things that you're allowed to get away with.
Yeah.
It's still above board.
Yeah. So, but you know, the business isn't, you know, buying things that it shouldn't be buying. It's not buying the wife a new diamond ring. It's not buying a vacation. It's not doing any of that shit.
That you know of.
That I guess. you're right.
I'm just kidding. There's no telling what she's doing down there, man.
So that's going to wrap it up for business prep. We have emails in the description of this show. If you guys have any questions about this at all, if you have a unique business prep question, business finance prep question, shoot us an email.
Yeah.
Both of our emails are down there. The general inbox is down there as well. Also, whatever platform you're listening on, feel free to give us a review on that platform. I feel we've earned it. We're over 200 episodes in, free knowledge. The least you could do is pay us by giving us a review. So, and then obviously share the show with somebody else who might be wanting to start their own business. Until next week, guys, we will see you later.
We'll see you.